Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 93. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And tonight we're talking all things Blair Witch. We're reviewing the new film, the long-belated sequel to the Blair Witch Project. But first, I think we have some setting up of context for this whole review.
Sure.
And I guess first I kind of want to start with talking about the original Blair Witch Project, the classic horror film from 1999, kind of what our thoughts were on it, and yeah, let's just get into that then. Chris, how do you feel about the Blair Witch Project?
I appreciate its place in horror history, but I am not particularly a fan of it. What were we going to ask?
I was just going to ask, is that like a recent thing, or did you used to be a fan, or were you always kind of perplexed a little?
I think I was always a little kind of perplexed straight from, like, I've actually, like, early on when I saw it, and we're talking 17 years ago now, 99. Yeah. So when I saw it, I saw it when it came out, but not right when it came out. I probably saw it around this time of year, which is about 2 months later. And there was like this huge buzz around the Blair Witch Project. And there were people that like were going around saying that like it was real footage, and because this type of movie had never, I mean, there have been like found footage type movies, but nothing to this degree.
Not many.
That blew up like it. Yeah, I mean, but there have definitely been faux documentary movies in the past. Like, I mean, Cannibal Holocaust is,
yeah, it's a faux many years before that.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's not the inventor of it, but it certainly is definitely brought it back to the forefront, and has kind of spawned 17 years of horror. Like, at the time I was like, I don't like, this is, it's shot poorly. Like, all right, there are definitely some tense moments in it, but it takes a long time to get going. And in 99, like, I was not a huge fan of documentary filmmaking. Still not a huge fan of documentary filmmaking, but I've grown to appreciate it more, and being friends with you, you kind of are forced into that. So, but yeah, like when I saw it, I was just like, I don't get it. Like, there's a cool mythos there, and we might get into that a little bit afterwards. I got more into the Blair Witch Project after the movie had come out, and they started releasing, like, there were three video games that came out. I don't know if you remember that. They were all on there are three PC video games, and when we talk about the Blair Witch, the new movie, there are things that I remembered from those video games. So, like that he had taken, I guess Wingard had taken, maybe from there, maybe from the movie itself. I don't remember that stuff in the movie, but there is this like huge mythos that Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez, the directors and writers of the original Blair Witch Project, kind of that they put out there. They created this really cool world that it exists in, but I was not scared by the Blair Witch Project. So I was just like, and you go into one of those movies where, you know, there's so much hype around it at that point. Like it had been the indie darling, and it had, you know, it had grown to close to $100 million at that point. And, you know, you have footage of people in the theater that are like having heart attacks. Like, it's like, this is absurd. There's like, I don't get it. Like, I think I went in with a very jaded approach 17 years ago, and everyone's like, oh my God, you got to see this movie. Oh my God, you got to see this movie. And I was like, I went and I saw it. And I was like, okay, like they created something cool, and for the budget they did, it's really impressive. But I was not like blown away by it or anything.
Okay. You froze up for me for a second there, but I think I heard what you were saying. Yeah. Yeah, I guess we almost have to set the context for the original if people don't remember, like if you were too young then. But yeah, it was like this thing that came out of nowhere with lots of really creative marketing. And this whole, like, people didn't know whether it was real or not and all that. My experience was way different from you, though. I went and saw it right away. I think I knew that it was fictional, like it was fake. But it looked cool to me, and the trailers really sold it. It had, like, you know, critics blurbs. And we'll get into that for this one, too, because the trailers for the new one kind of had, like, really insane praise in the trailers from critics. But anyways, for me, I went and saw it when it first, like the opening weekend probably, and I was blown away by it. I thought it was a great movie. I remember sitting in the theater and the whole theater going dark at parts where, you know, they're running around in the dark and you can't see anything. And just, I remember getting like goosebumps, and I was like a jaded horror fan myself at this point. I'd seen everything out there, essentially, you know, like it's definitely all the slasher movies at the very least. And here was this cheap little movie that these kids made that scared me by showing me nothing, essentially. So that it kind of like flipped everything I knew on its head in a way. And
do you remember back to when you saw it? Did you have like an engaged audience?
The one thing I remember, I mean, I remember two things about seeing it in the theater. I think it was pretty full theater, and I remember, like I said, I remember distinctly getting goosebumps, like actually being kind of creeped out by it. The credits rolling, and the dude in the row right in front of me stood up and goes, "Fucking indie movies."
All right, yes. Like I had a very similar experience where it was just like people were like verbally upset while we were watching the movie in the theater,
like while it's still going.
Yeah, while it was like people got up and left. Like, and I mean, some of it is like it is the shakiest shaky cam of those types of movies. So I suffer a little bit from some of that, like where some of that gets me a little bit nauseous and I have to look away. So that may have played into part of my, you know, initial response to the Blair Witch Project.
See, I that stuff doesn't bother me at all. Like, my girlfriend watching this new one said that it was giving her a headache and stuff, and how could you watch that? I'm like, I don't know. I guess I have a strong stomach, or I don't know. But anyways, I'm here to defend the Blair Witch Project because I thought it was a great movie at the time, and I actually do think it holds up. And ridiculous, because if someone, you just show this to someone now, they're going to be like, you're full of shit. But I have watched it recently. I watched it before going to see this sequel. I watched it about a year ago, and both times I still really liked it. And I guess there's two things that really stick out to me that I really like about the Blair Witch Project. And one is that it looks like actual found footage. Most found footage movies look too slick. Like, and that's part of, like, I guess, the complaints. It's really shaky. The shots are not, like, professionally composed, you know, like, really. But
It's shot on.
It feels very amateur. Too.
Like it's shot on what we would consider like an old school camcorder.
Yeah, it's shot on like they do use some actual film, and then they were using, I want to say, DV tapes.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks amateurish. It looks like someone's vacation videos that you might have shot back in the day.
Right.
And found footage movies that looks like that, I think, like the ones that come out now are too professional. Like this, it has that feel of like finding a snuff film or something, where it's just like, this is something you're not supposed to be seeing. Like it's real. I knew it wasn't real, but just the quality or the low quality of it, I think, lends itself to its effectiveness.
I'd agree with that. There's definitely a feel to that movie that you don't get with a lot of found footage films since then.
Like, and have you watched it recently?
No, I mean, I'm.
You didn't rewatch?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I know the basic premise of it, which I mean, we'll get into very shortly, but
yeah. But it looks so amateurish, and I think that makes it feel real. And I guess, you know, on a related note to that is the actors in it, they don't feel like actors to me. It just feels like people hanging out, kind of. And right. That kind of, I don't know, it helps you buy into it, even if you know it's fictional. And then the other thing for me, what I think makes the movie scary is not the supernatural elements. It's simply three kids in the woods being lost and slowly losing their minds. And what the scariest moments for me, or what it makes it scariest, how damn scared they are in the movie. Like, they're just like, they're at their wit's end and they're screaming at the top of their lungs and they're running out of cigarettes. They're hungry. They're tired. They're cold. And there's a slow realization that starts to set in throughout the back half of the film that they're probably going to die. And you feel like you're watching something that you shouldn't be seeing, like this, you know? So like all that stuff, I think, is what, for me, makes it a very powerful film. Like rewatching it, I still think it's pretty chilling, like how scared these damn kids are. Like, just, and yeah, like I said, nothing to do with the witch or anything. It's just,
right,
them losing the map, them going in circles and ending up in the same spot. And like, oh shit, I have to get to work tomorrow morning, but I'm not going to make it. And hopefully people will come and start looking for us. And like, just very basic things that could actually happen, I guess, you know, like you could, right, get lost out, right, somewhere. Although it'd be pretty hard nowadays. And I guess we'll talk about that when we can talk about Blair Witch. But I think those are the things that, you know, the amateurish quality of it and the fact that they feel like real people who are really, really scared. I think that's what makes it scary. I think that's what makes it still scary. I know definitely not for everybody, and there's definitely probably more people who are not like me who, like, I think as time has gone on, people kind of hate the Blair Witch Project, or a lot of the audience does.
I don't hate it.
But not like, me. I've loved it. I've always loved it.
I don't hate it. Like, I definitely disliked it after I first saw it, but I think as time has gone on, I've come to respect it, at least, even if I don't necessarily like it. Because, I mean, it does hold a very strong place in horror film history, and for better or worse, it spawned, you know, two decades of a very successful type of horror film. So,
yeah, and it is, like you just said, kind of like to piggyback off that, like, it was something that really had not been done at that time. Yeah, there was Cannibal Holocaust, but that was decades earlier and different. There was another movie right around that time, which was pretty terrible. I forgot the name of it, but yes.
Mm.
But yeah, and then, yeah, like you said, it kind of like set this whole new wave of horror after that. That is, I mean, it's still going to this day. Like, found footage movies, I mean, as recently as last year, we had Unfriended, which I liked. I know not everyone liked that, but I liked that as well.
Yeah, I mean, we still get a couple every year. Like,
the Paranormal Activities.
Some are not good.
Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and we get some outside of that as well, where I mean, like, it's the superhero one.
Chronicle.
Yeah. Like, we get stuff like that, and they, yeah, like, it's, I mean, people have kind of grown the genre out of not just horror anymore now. Like, you know, now there's a comedy and drama and superhero films and other things that have grown from, because of the success of the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, and so there's something there. I mean, it's a legitimate genre, I guess I'd say. Like, like, when I look at a movie like Chronicle, I think it's a pretty great film. And part of what makes it special is that it's a first person film, like, that's found footage. So, I mean, yeah. So even if you don't like Blair Witch Project, like, you kind of have to give it credit for spawning a huge part of modern films.
Mm-hmm.
That I love the movie. I think it stands among, like, honestly, I'd put it in the top 10 horror films I've ever seen. So you can understand why I might be excited for a sequel so many years later. And on top of it, from director Adam Wingard and his writing partner, Simon Barrett, I think his name is.
Yes.
These guys have been doing some of the best genre films of the last 5 years. Like Year Next, I think, is an awesome home invasion movie that like really plays with that genre, like plays with the home invasion thriller, like in cool ways. And then you have The Guest, which I think is just like a fantastic ode to like, or homage to like 80s fucking like action thriller type things. Like, God, like I own The Guest on Blu-ray. I think I've seen it like 6 times in the last year. So I don't know how you, I know you're a fan of Your Next, right? Like you like that one as well.
I do. I like The Guest, maybe not as much as you do, but. I like The Guest soundtrack, and that's fantastic. Yeah,
well, especially the one song that plays over and over.
Your Next is great. Like I like The Guest is one of the best horror films we've had in like the last 5 years or so.
So yeah, I mean, and put yourself in my shoes going into this. All right, so first off, earlier in the year, we saw the trailer for The Woods, which was they like secretly. We're making this Blair Witch sequel and then advertising it, but not advertising it as Blair Witch. It was advertised as The Woods.
Right.
Film from Adam Wingard. And I'm like, I'm on board already. I'm like, hell yeah, dude. He's making another movie and it's a scary movie set in the woods. Fuck yes. And the trailers for The Woods, like, it had like this creepy version of Every Breath You Take playing over it. And it had these like critic blurbs that were like, this is a game changer. This is what horror fans have been waiting for forever. You know, a truly terrifying cinematic experience. Like, I'm like, oh, cool, man. Like, Adam Wingard's making a new movie, and apparently critics love it, right? Like, that's awesome. Like, I love his last two movies. I can't wait. And then it's revealed that it's a sequel to one of my favorite horror movies. I'm through the roof. I'm like, oh, my God, like, this is like, for me, this is like Christmas coming in September.
Right.
So that's the mindset I had going into to the sequel. I'm like, one of my favorite horror movies of all time, and one of my favorite current directors is doing it, like, and it's got like these amazing reviews. And then the actual movie came. And I guess we should dive into that now, because, well, this is going to be rough.
Yeah, Blair Witch came out.
Blair Witch came out, and guess what? Like all those like super positive early reviews got far outweighed by the general reaction. It's sitting at 37% on Rotten Tomatoes. It did okay box office wise for its budget, but it did pretty poorly. It did worse than Blair Witch 2 did opening weekend, so. Yeah.
Right, but I mean, you gotta remember, Blair Witch 2 came out the year after Blair Witch, so, like, it was still riding on that hype.
Yeah, that's true.
This is 17 years later. and as you said, like, for a lot of people, the appreciation for the Blair Witch Project has turned sour. For a lot of people, I'm not sure why that is, but it definitely is. Like, there are definitely horror critics that'll say that it's still great, and like you included. But there are definitely a lot of people that would, like, have fallen off of that. And I don't know if it's just 17 years of being pounded with found footage films, like some of which, are just, you know, technically better made movies, whether they're better or not. Like, there are some of those that are actually technically better made movies.
Yeah. Well, like think of a young horror fan now who maybe they were introduced to the genre with Paranormal Activity, which is a much more sophisticated, slicker version, you know, of this stuff. And for them to go back and look at this, they're going to be like, this is garbage.
Right. Like, what is this, a student film? Like,
But, like, to me, even now, I can watch both those films back to back, and I find the Blair Witch Project to be way more effective. But I also, context of having seen it in the theaters when it came out and loved it. So, I don't know. I don't know what's correct, but I know that Blair Witch Project is still my favorite. But anyways, so this one came out, and yeah. So let's just get in. Let's get into the Blair Witch.
Let's do it. Do you want me to take it on this here, or kind of like lay it out?
Let me just say right off the bat, I didn't hate it.
Me neither.
I don't know about you. Okay, so neither of us hated it. We'll get that like right out of the way. But it's kind of like when your parents say, "I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed." That's how I feel walking away from this movie.
I could from your perspective, I can definitely see that. I am just like, it's a found footage film in 2016. It's a decent enough one of them.
Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know, but that's not good for me. For me personally, anyways, that's not good enough to follow up the classic that started it all. You got it, and I just expect more from Adam Wingard. Like, him and Simon Barrett are way more talented and capable of way more than what they've accomplished here. But why don't we get into like just the basic premise of what this sequel is? You want to explain it, Chris?
Sure. So, Heather, the girl in Blair Witch, just is the iconic shot of, you know, her face with the light on her. Her brother, years later, has decided that, you know, I guess they're combing YouTube or something, and they come across a video which he believes he sees his sister in it. It takes place in the outside of Burkittsville in these woods, or the Black Hills Forest. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, he believes that she's still out there in this cabin somewhere, and he gets together a group of friends, his kind of – this girl that he's kind of – he's not dating, but he definitely seems to like. She is a, like, amateur filmmaker taking film classes at school, and his buddy, Peter, and his girlfriend, and they set out for Burkittsville, where they come across, they meet up with, I forget the name, but they meet up with these two people that have been posting online videos and stuff. This guy James and this girl Talia, and they kind of are like, "Hey, if you take us with you, we'll show you where we found the videos." So then they go hiking out in the woods, like.
Yeah, and it quickly becomes. Yeah, they the same thing again.
They go in, they pass like a kind of, it's very, very obvious, like they pass like a point of no return. Like don't go past here after dark or whatever, and then it kind of follows the Blair Witch. Like,
it's kind of the same thing again. It's stick figures, it's rocks, it's weird noises, it's. It's everything being too dark and you can't see what's going on. And it follows very much a similar structure, like story, like, you know, plot point wise as the original.
Yeah.
Thread. And for me, you remove the things that made the original, like I just talked about them, that made the original so great are lacking here. Like, one, the film looks way too slick, but Wingard noted, like, he knew, like, going in that was a problem. He was doing Q&A on Twitter, and that's something people asked him about, and he was like, he's like, that's one thing that we worried about is that, like, it won't have the grimy, like, gritty look of the original. He's like, but there's really no way around that because modern cameras are great. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and there's actually a comment, I don't know if you picked up on it in the movie, but James, the kind of like the Burkittsville bumpkin that's joined along with them. He's holding like an old school DV tape camera.
Yeah.
And he kind of goes on like this. It was like a short little rant though about how like those cameras are better, and you know they give you feels more real.
Yeah,
Thanks
for winking and nodding to me and letting me know that I'm right and that the original's better. Essentially, that's kind of what it's saying. They adhere so closely to like things that happen in the original and kind of like reinvigorate it, but they totally miss, like, the movie never slows down enough for these characters to get scared. Like, it misses the whole, like, oh my God, we're running out of food, we're running out of this and that, and we're, you know.
Yeah, like, definitely. Like, there is, the original movie had this draw, like, and that was one of the problems I have with it, is, like, it drags, like, because they're really just out there camping and videotaping them camping and then videotaping them walking, trying to find their way out. And in this, it's like, it really happens in like basically 2 days. Although there's some weird time warp thing that goes on. Like it really, like, they go, they get to the campsite, weird shit happens. They wake up, they decide they're going to leave. And then more weird shit happens, and then they go to bed, and then it's the then it's night, and it never becomes light again.
Yeah, like once it really gets going, it never lets up. And I guess like in a lot of cases, like a lot of movies, if I said what I just said, that'd be like a positive. But for me, it's just like it's lacking what made the first one scary is the moments where it would slow down. Like even in the first one, they lose Joshua first. By the way, I remember the characters' names from the first one, but I couldn't tell you the characters' names in this one. But even after they lose him, there's like quiet moments where like Heather and Mike just like they sit down on a log and share a cigarette. The fact that they're probably going to die out there. And to me, that's more chilling than anything that happens in this. Like, it's just once this gets going, it's like we're going to take you on a roller coaster ride and have a bunch of shit jump out and jump scares and.
I will say,
and we're gonna just,
I enjoy like the last 20 or so minutes of it, and when the roller coaster really gets going, it is like, I mean, to me, like, I don't have the emotional attachment that you had to the Blair Witch, but I just kind of like let myself sit back and go on the rails with it, and I enjoyed that part of the movie at least.
It's kind of fun, but I think that last 20 minutes is kind of fun, but it would have been more effective if we had some quiet moments where we got to know these characters. Like, you don't ever feel like you get to know these characters and care about them. And that, I guess that's my main problem, is I really did feel like I knew them and cared about them, despite the fact that these people were very amateur actors and it, like, they just felt like real people. So yeah, that's my huge
complaint
with it.
These people just feel like they're there.
Yeah.
Even like a, James, who is, I think it's James,
the main guy.
Like he's just it, like you don't feel like he's related to Heather. Like there's no. It's just like, oh, he says he is, so that's the connection. Like that's the tie here.
Yeah, he must have been like 3 years old or something when she died or disappeared. So.
Right.
Yeah, so that's to me is the big thing, the big huge problem with this. If they would have done more character work and a few more quiet moments, I think I would have walked away with this a little more impressed. But even then, I'm just kind of like, I just expect more. I expected, like, just from the pedigree of the director, I expected him to do something really clever with it. And then also, based on the early reviews from, like, horror sites just saying it was a game changer and this and that, I was like,
it's not,
dude. No matter what we say about this movie, like in our final verdict, changer. This is nothing special, and it's already kind of fading from my memory. But there are things I liked about it. There are things that are fun, and one of those things that we already touched on was the fact that like time seems to kind of warp, like the witch has like these powers where like. like we're days pass for some characters and it's only hours for other characters. I think they do some clever things. Like there's, I guess I'll save some of them for spoilers, but I think they do some clever stuff with this. But then sure. They also do nothing with some other things. Like they throw in this drone, and I fully expected this drone to be used in some sort of clever way, and it never, ever is at all. Like, they barely do anything with that fucking drone. I was just like, okay, oh, cool. We're going to play with the genre of found footage and show what we could do with different cameras, and the drone ends up being nothing.
And they have, like, a ton of different cameras, too. That's what's crazy about. Like, they have, like, the ear cameras and the drone camera and the handheld cameras and... The regular DV camera, like there are different cameras all over the place, and yeah, the one that could probably do different things and show us different angles of things, doesn't do anything. It gets caught in a tree.
Yeah, and it's just yeah. So it's like there's certain things that get set up where you think like, oh, that's gonna be something cool, and they don't do anything with it.
Which is like that whole thing with it getting caught in the tree is just kind of set up for it to set up a kill, like shortly thereafter.
That was disappointing to me. I was like, "That's it?
Yeah,
that's all you're gonna do with that? Okay."
There is a wonderful kill though in this.
There is one.
Oh, it is.
We'll get into it.
Beautiful.
All right, well, why don't we give our final verdict and we'll go into spoilers now, because if people have not seen it, I guess we could leave some of this stuff out. But so final verdict, Chris.
It's a 3 for me. It's a found footage movie. It's nothing super special, but it's certainly watchable. Like, I wasn't, you know, I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I think for me it's a 3-2. Just looking at it from a kind of a technical standpoint, and like it's okay, it's serviceable. But then put in a larger context of my love for the original, it's super disappointing. Like,
I could see that.
Directors, it just they could do better than this. They should have done better than this, and if not, they should have just not done it. So yeah, that's that. I mean. Watch it, I guess. Like it's a watchable movie, but it's nothing special.
Or don't watch it. Now we're not missing anything.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, we'll get into some spoilers now for people who do care, I guess. yeah, one cool, like I thought, a really cool moment, and I did almost get like chills from is when the couple that they exile comes back.
Oh yeah, yeah, Wayne and Talia.
Yeah. And the one girl is holding up the stick figure. She's like, "Oh, it's got you're hearing it or whatever." And she snaps. You did this so much that she snaps the thing in half, and it snaps the girl in half. I thought that was really clever. And then quickly followed, like right thereafter, with like the tent flying up from behind her. I was like, "Oh, I was like, this is really gonna get good now." I thought, and then I don't know. It was kind of fun from there on, but like. That was kind of one of the most effective things is that moment right there.
Yeah, that whole scene right there is pretty great. And then the stuff in the house I think is decent. It's not the best.
It's pretty good.
It's decent, yeah.
Like when the girl or whatever the tunnel that had been dug underneath.
The tunnel is really good. Like it's actually nice and claustrophobic. It's well shot. Like. There are some things in it where I'm just like, why did she throw the camera down there?
I don't know if it fell off or she like threw it off to try to get like a better view of what.
Right. Or try to crawl towards it.
But, like just how tight that space was. Like, I don't know. I remember you really liked that movie, The Descent. I got vibes of that.
Like that was like excellently put together right there, and definitely was definitely a Descent vibe to that whole scene.
And yeah, like just man, that's like I'm not a claustrophobic person, but damn that like that space was so tight. I felt bad for the actor doing that. But one thing I wanted to touch on, like I was thinking about when we were talking about this, is that weird couple, right?
Uh-huh.
They never explain what the fuck is up with them. Like I kept expecting like something to pay off with them in some sort of way, and it never does. It's just that they're weird and they believe in it and they want other people to believe in it, but
right.
Never explain any further than that. Like,
I think that was really it though. That was their purpose there. Like they believe weak. There's weird shit going on in the woods, and they needed somebody else to go out there and kind of, because they're like the local crackpot. So they needed somebody else to go out there and like, hey, no, this shit's really like really weird. Like this isn't one of their tricks or whatever.
Yeah.
Not saying it's good, but I do think that was their purpose behind being there.
I just don't even feel like, I feel like we're like kind of filling in the blanks a little bit on them, even with that, where it's just like, okay, like, it seemed like there was something more to them, and then it was never really explained, really. But
I mean, Lane goes into it when he's kind of found out that he's the one that put the stick figures together on the first night.
Yeah,
they're like, "Why the fuck did you do this, dude?" And he's like, "Man, we needed other people to believe. We needed somebody to have more credibility."
But why? Like.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, what is making them tick? And then, I thought it was a cool moment when he comes out and he's all disheveled and he goes, "How many days has it been for you guys?"
Yeah,
and they're like, "What?" He's like, "We've been out here for 5 days." And like, I thought that was cool, but how the fuck does he know that time's different? Like, you experience time how you experience it, so. If it's been 5 days for him, why would you ask someone else how many days it's been for them?
Well, because gone up. Like, I mean, I guess the watch kept going. Like, the watch hadn't stopped for him, but
so he's asking that because the sun hasn't come up.
Yeah, like, the sun hasn't come up, and they haven't eaten. But those two, the James and the other girl, they seemed okay, and it was almost like they had just left them, which they had, like. Earlier that day for them.
Yeah, yeah.
But Lane and Talia had, like, they were all disheveled and like malnourished at that point. And I mean, yeah, like the whole, like, how many, like, I guess that was just the way of kind of like saying like, hey, like, there's definitely a time distortion going on here. What is actually happening?
I think that's neat. I think it's fun too, that they're like, you know, cause what was cool about Blair Witch Project in 1999 is, they were able to get lost because they're just reading a paper map, right? Yeah. And in this one, they have GPS and all this stuff, but it's just like, well, it doesn't work because the Blair Witch is fucking with it. I was like, all right, that's a cool way around it. It's like a neat like way of playing with it. So I don't know. I like those things. Another thing I don't like, and I save this for spoilers because I don't know if people would care or not, but like, I don't really like that they showed the witch in this one. Like,
I kind of agree
again,
with that.
Yeah, I think again that kind of misses like it's almost like they didn't get what made the original powerful. It's like they didn't show us anything. It didn't have to. It let us be just afraid for them in that situation. This is the monster. Like
I think there's
not
ways,
this movie that needs a monster.
Yeah, I think there's ways that they could have done it, like played with light where it maybe something was there. They
like
flat
shadow,
out show
like
it. Yeah. Like, because there's like plenty of lightning going on, and there's a whole bunch of light towards the end of the movie, like with the house. And I think that there's definitely a way where you didn't actually have to show the monster.
Yeah. Because it's not the thing that makes Blair Witch Project, at least the original special, is like you didn't need a monster. You didn't need to show any of this stuff. And then it's here, it's like, we're just going to crank it up to 11. We're going to show you everything, and we're gonna explain everything. Any questions that, like, they had to explain why they faced the corner more than they did in the first one. Like, you know what I mean? It's like they're like filling in the blanks. It was scarier when I didn't know. And it was funny. I forgot what review I was listening to where they said this feels like a movie that was made for people that hated the original, and I kind of have to agree. Like. Just so kind of sad because it feels like then they didn't get why people might have liked the original. I don't know.
Well, do you think that Wingard didn't get why people liked the original, or do you think that if people like this movie because they didn't like the original that they didn't understand why people that liked the original didn't like the original.
I don't know. I think that I think Wingard liked the original and for the most part got it, but he was kind of put in charge of an impossible task of
probably
like honestly, how do you follow up a classic such a bare bones experience? You can't like. There's. I just thought he would somehow do it because he's smarter than me. He's a fucking huge filmmaker, you know. But I get like looking at him, like I guess he did his best, but he didn't know what the fuck to do.
He made another Blair Witch movie. Like that's what he did.
I got yeah.
I mean, for better or worse, like
for worse.
Well, I mean, you don't ever have to watch it again, Jeff. Like it doesn't have to take away from your love of.
The thing is, like, I don't hate it so much that I never would watch it again. If it was on HBO or something, I would watch it. Like, if I caught it halfway through, I'd watch it. But it's just, I'd take the original any day over it. And
sure.
I guess we're gonna have to leave it at that. I mean, for me, super disappointing. I guess for you, it's kind of run of the mill.
It's just a found footage film.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It's too bad though. I thought I was going in.
You and Brian were super hyped.
Yeah, and I remember telling Brian afterwards. I was like, "Dude, I don't know, man. It was not that great." I mean, he was still in denial. He's like, "I liked it. I liked it. It's fun." I'm like, dude, if you love the original, talk to Brian in a year from now.
Right. Well, we'll see if he changes his mind.
So positive.
Yeah, so there you go, Blair Witch. So Jeff, do you hate all films now? You hate 2016?
No, I do kind of hate 2016 because like how many times have we gotten burned this year? Like it's just
but it's
movies,
good movies. Like you had Green Room. Like
yeah.
Like
yes, we have. Here's the three. There's three movies for me that I'm like they were amazing: Green Room, The Invitation, and Zootopia. Three movies out of this whole year, and dude, we have 3 months left. That's pretty slim pickings for great movies. I think it's kind of sad. I don't know. It's like everything that like
it's coming. You should watch The Jungle Book too. That was really good. I like 10 Cloverfield Lane that came out this year. Hush was
I liked it. Yeah, those are fine. I liked them.
You like
Hush. You're the second person today. You're the second person today that was like awesome.
What was that? The Jungle Book was awesome. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. You are at least yeah. Like, I'm looking forward to it now, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I just like everything that like I think this is a combination of movies and games now at this point too. It's just like everything I've been looking forward to when it comes out ends up being like, what the fuck? And it's just like, where are the great movies? I don't know. I just started thinking about it. Like,
We're also coming up on.
There's not been that many great movies.
We're still like, you know, the great movies in quotes come later in the year. So hopefully we'll see. I mean, I'm not really looking forward to a whole lot.
Me neither.
It's
kind of sad.
I mean, there's Star Wars, but you don't think Rogue One's gonna be good? That looks like a good movie.
No, I think it'll be pretty good. Or whatever. I'm looking forward to it, I guess. But I'm not nowhere near how I was with The Force Awakens, where I was just like, "Whoa, it looks so amazing!" Like this is just like, "All right, it's cool. Let's see what they do with the spinoff."
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I just feel like
Bad Santa 2.
If they pull that off, I'd be very pleasantly surprised.
Don't. I'm going to tell you right now. Don't get your hopes up for it. Just go in with like the lowest expectations, so you can come out happy. Like,
well, that's. I think the lesson that Blair Witch has taught me is just never expect anything, and then you'll be happy when you get something. Because that's another thing. Like Bad Santa. That's a movie that I think is like a perfect comedy, and so if I go in expecting them to match that with a sequel, I'm probably going to be disappointed. Right. So. I gotta become the old jaded man like you now and just go in.
Just go in hype. And then like, then you, hey, this wasn't too bad.
And then, maybe every once in a while, you might just get blown away. It feels like it's been a while since I've been blown away by a movie. So,
Hollywood,
turn it around.
I'd at least agree with that.
Cool.
All right.
Sigh.
I guess we'll be back next week. I've seen a bunch of stuff. Jungle Book being one of them.
Okay.
I saw the Ratchet and Clank movie. Less said about that, the better. Money Monster, which I liked.
Wow.
And I'm going to see. Actually, I just watched a Midnight Special, which you had recommended. I think you reviewed it on the show not too long ago. That was pretty good. And I'll probably see the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie this weekend, and maybe Cell before the next time we record. So I've seen a bunch.
Wow. Well, I don't think I'll have much. I'll have Son of Saul, which won Best Foreign Film at the Oscars this year. And I will have maybe watched all of 11/22/63, which is a miniseries based on a Stephen King book.
I'm interested to see what you think of that.
You haven't seen it yet?
No. I haven't read the book either, so.
All right. We'll go into a very quick spoiler before the end of the episode here. I've watched the first two episodes of it. Okay?
Yep.
Think of Back to the Future, except instead of trying to save his parents' marriage, he's
trying to stop the Kennedy assassination?
Yeah, so that he can make the world a better place. Because if Kennedy wouldn't have been assassinated, his brother wouldn't have been assassinated, they might have changed the world. Yeah, so it's pretty fun. Fun, dude.
Sounds interesting.
All right, so, yeah, that's...
We'll be back next week, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Movie dudes. Do-do-do-do-do.